It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
And you call our local numbers, too, 247-7282 and 353-4674. And Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins in the studio. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Ben.
All right, what are we talking about today?
Ben, last week and the week before, we discussed starting a new business, and we talked about some of the issues that arise in a business context. Mm-hmm. And certainly one of the things that everyone thinks about, or many people think about, is a covenant not to compete in the
right.
business context.
Right.
Wes, in fact, I think has a friend, client that wanted us to discuss that. So we're going to talk about today and probably more into next week as well,
mm-hmm.
the covenant not to compete.
Okay. All right. And where does that come up? Wes, where's that?
Well, it basically comes up in employment contracts, and that's what we're going to be referring to today. I mean, you can have covenants not to compete as it relates to just a competing business. Like if you're selling your business,
right.
you can't open up another similar type business right down the road or within
mm-hmm.
the area covered in the territory described in the covenant not to compete. But what Cecil and I are going to refer to today is just the law pertaining to covenants not to compete in an employer
right.
type context.
Yeah, that's always a little stickier. Right?
That's right. Since we're talking about, you know, businesses and we're talking about employees, you know, people maybe even thinking, hey, I might be leaving my business to open up my
mm-hmm.
own business, but I might have a covenant not to compete issue. So,
mm-hmm.
Folks out there might have those kind of questions, and we're going to address those because really the law it is different as it relates to covenants not to compete for the employment
right.
issue as opposed to like the sale of a business. So
yeah.
it's more strict when you're dealing with the employer-employee context.
In larger radio markets, we get it all the time. There's a lot of contracts that have covenants not to compete. They get challenged.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, some of our listeners might be familiar with the old adage, you know, it takes a team of Philadelphia lawyers
mm-hmm.
in order to write a covenant not to compete that's enforceable.
Mm-hmm.
It is really a provision, if you will, or a document that is just right out of the gate is a bit suspect.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is, and we're going to go over that bottom line right now in a minute, is that if it meets certain criteria, and
right.
if it is well drafted and meets those criteria in the state of North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
then of course the North Carolina courts will enforce it. So let's talk about what those criteria are.
Yeah, because right off the bat, I mean, it just sounds like constitutionally it would be very
Correct.
Difficult for
that it's against public policy.
Right.
We want there to be free and open exchange,
mm-hmm.
free trading,
mm-hmm.
A free market. Particularly in a professional context when you start limiting the right of a doctor or a lawyer or a dentist, an engineer, a physical therapist, any of those kinds of folks, you start limiting their practice, their
mm-hmm.
ability to serve their communities. Courts are not,
right.
not friendly to
mm-hmm.
that, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if it meets these criteria, and if it is tightly drafted, it
mm-hmm.
can be enforceable. Now,
okay.
Ben, these are the criteria. Wes is going to go into detail on each one. And again, we may not get through all of them this week. These are the criteria. It must be in writing. It is part of a contract of employment.
Mm-hmm.
Three, it's based on valuable consideration. Four, that it's reasonable as to its time and to its territory. And lastly, that it's fair to all parties and not against public policy.
Okay, there you go.
Now, of course,
those are all very sticky.
Those are what
issues.
We law students call the elements. And the bar examiners are going to want you to talk about those elements.
Okay.
First, know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they are what I just said.
So we take them one by one?
And then you take them one by one, and you then describe those elements. And, of course, there's case law
mm-hmm.
in the state of North Carolina that then further defines, explains, if you will, each of those elements.
Mm-hmm. Now, first is must be in writing, right? I mean, and I think about it, just in my career, I don't think I've ever had a contract. Okay. I don't think I've ever had a written contract.
All right. Well, so. Covenants not to compete, they do have to be in writing. Interestingly, I had a potential client call me even a couple of weeks ago having questions about covenants not to compete, and I listened to the gentleman on the phone for about 10 or 15 minutes describing the situation, and then he says, well, it's not in writing or anything about the covenant not to compete. I said, well, there is no covenant not to compete then. It's not in writing. So if you want to leave your employer, you're free to do so, even though that, you know, if there's emails back and forth about, you know, restrictions, or there have been discussion, or the employer said, well, I'll give you a raise of X amount, but you're going to be subject to restrictions. You're not going to be able to work right next to us, you know.
Yeah.
Not enforceable. I guess really the only other little element as it relates to that, because that's pretty much easy to understand, not in writing, is that the only party that has to sign the writing is the employee. The employer does not have to sign the covenant not to compete. Just the employee's signature, the person that we're trying to restrict, has to have signed that.
Well, because if it's part of the employment contract, then that's another element there. But obviously it's representing the employer. So
yeah, absolutely. Right, so. Absolutely. But we're just restricting that one party, the employee.
Right.
The employer has the right to enforce a covenant not to compete, even if they didn't sign the covenant not to compete.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the employee signed that document, they will be bound by, you know, the restrictions in that document, as long as all the other elements are met as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
So, got to be in writing.
That's right. The next is, it has to be based on valuable consideration. That's going to take us a little while to get through. We'll talk through this and try to keep it light, but consideration is one of those concepts in the law that folks, you know, lawyers know exactly what it is, and most lawyers know exactly what it is, but, you know, folks on the street, they don't really totally understand what consideration in all contexts.
Before we get to that one, I want to back up one. It also had to be part of an employment contract.
That's right.
The second one, not a separate agreement then, right?
It can be a separate agreement.
It can
absolutely be. But it has to be part of that employment, all right? And that really goes back to the consideration issue. Basically, the employment itself, Ben, serves as the consideration for the covenant not to compete. So if you are being employed by someone, and as a part of that agreement, a covenant not to compete is put in front of you at the time that employment begins, and you sign that, then you're bound by the provisions in the covenant not to compete. And
part
it
of
is
the
supported
employment.
Okay. By consideration, which is the employment. You don't have to have a separate written employment contract. You can just have a covenant not to compete and a verbal agreement as it relates to your employment.
Okay, but then tying that into the consideration. The consideration could be the job, even if it's a minimum wage job?
That's right. Absolutely. Doesn't matter. Consideration basically is something of value. It's something that the court recognizes as like a bargain for exchange. I'll do this if you do that.
Right.
Okay, for example, if I tell you, Ben, okay, I think I'll sell my car to you for $10.
Right.
You can't sue me on that because what did you give me for that? No consideration there.
You're right.
Okay. Right. But if there was some agreement where, you know, if you do this, I'll do that, bargain for exchange, then it meets the statute of frauds, which is, you know, in writing, so on and so forth, then that would be a binding contract. So the employment is usually in almost every occasion the consideration to support the covenant not to compete. But let's take this scenario.
Okay.
What if we have an employee who starts work, begins work, works for a couple days, no discussion about a covenant not to compete, and then on day 3, 4, 5, 6, the employer says, hey, by the way, if you're going to stay here, you need to sign this covenant not to compete.
Right.
Employee freely signs it, says, okay, fine, I don't care, I like my job, that's great, here we go. A year later, let's say the employee decides that they want to leave and they want to work for someone else who is competing.
Yeah, he gets an offer.
Exactly.
Right.
Under that scenario, that covenant not to compete is not enforceable.
Because it wasn't the consideration at the time of employment.
There's a case in North Carolina that deals with that, where an individual started employment, no discussion about a covenant not to compete as part of the employment. On day three, the covenant not to compete was put in front of this employee. The employee signed it. Years later, the employee leaves. The employer sues on the covenant not to compete. That went up to the Court of Appeals. Court of Appeals said, no, there's no valuable consideration because it wasn't part of the agreement of employment. It wasn't part of what was considered to start this employment. It was given to this person only 3 days later, but 3 days later, and there was no further valuable consideration.
In other words, he wasn't given a raise along with that.
You got it. So in the event that this person had been given a raise for that, then that would support it as consideration.
Okay. We have Finley on the line with a question for us this morning. Good morning, Finley. How are you?
Hey, fellas. Good morning. Interesting conversation. I got a question about length of time, I guess. A good friend up in New York City a number of years ago worked for a particular company, and for about 4 or 5 years, she quit the company and started her own company in the same business. Her attorneys, when she incorporated her company, told her to wait 6 months after they looked at her employment contract with the former company. She waited 6 months to actually incorporate her company and go into business. Well, the former employer sued her, for exactly what you're talking about, you know, not to compete. They fought it for 5 years, a little over 5 years, and well, what he was trying to do was essentially run her out of business, and her business was a lot better than his, and she essentially blew him out of the water. But he was just trying to extend it out so long that she'd finally give up. Finally, it's about 6 months ago, a judge threw it out. He looked at the former employer and their attorneys and said, you know, enough is enough. You lose. Leave it alone. But 5 years and a snoop full of attorney's fees later, she won the case. So I guess my question is do you see that tactic a lot? Does that happen to stretch it out just to kind of
Sometimes, Finley, the case is won or lost at the preliminary injunction stage. And what I mean by that is that let's say that we have an employee who has left the employer, wants to go start, you know, work down the road, but there's a covenant not to compete. Well, and then the employer brings an action to enjoin that employment, to stop it. Well, that just bringing the lawsuit itself isn't going to really physically or legally stop that employee from competing. Now, the employee may be risking, you know, damages, but if a preliminary injunction motion is filed, which is a early on in the lawsuit motion to try to keep the employee under this context from competing,
limit damages.
That's right, that is heard by, in North Carolina, be a superior court judge, and the superior court judge finds that there's a reasonable likelihood of success on the merits and grants that preliminary injunction saying, employee, look, you're in breach of this covenant not to compete. Well, the case is won then probably by the employer at least for a couple years, 18 months or so, because, hey, that preliminary injunction is going to be enforced during the entire pendency of that case, and it's going to take that long to get to trial.
Right.
So, yes, that does happen sometimes. So, you know, one of the, when you're dealing with these cases as an attorney, whether you're on the plaintiff's side or the defendant's side, you know, and we're moving forward to a preliminary injunction hearing.
That's your first battle line, isn't it?
Hey, you better get ready for that. And you better get your facts together with regard to all the consideration and things you can attack the contract on.
Finley,
it appears that,
No, go ahead, please.
Well, it appears that in this particular case that was not enough consideration because it went on for like 5 years. It almost came to trial, and I was going to be one of the witnesses on behalf of the woman who left because when she started her new company, I was her first client. I had talked to her attorney. I talked to her attorneys, and all sorts of stuff. But it never got that far because the judge finally said, "Enough! You lose."
Yeah.
To the employer.
So it sounds like she went ahead and left the previous company and then started the new company and worked the entire time, even while the lawsuit was pending.
So it was more of a case about
damages, about how she damaged her former employer by potentially breaching the contract, right?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and she grew that company. It's in the entertainment business, and she grew that company. It is one of the absolute best in New York City now, and blew the other guy out of the water. I mean, just taking all of the business. Yeah.
But
it took like 5 years.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Appreciate it, Finley.
Go ahead. Take care.
Up against a break there, as I was going to say, Finley understands that. We'll be back in just a moment here with more from Harvell and Collins and the right advice at the right time here on Let's Talk Legal here on the talk station. You can give us a call too at 800-818-2255, 247-7282-353-4674 for more on Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins on the web too at harvellandcollins.com. Hey, welcome back. This is Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240 with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law, and Let's Talk Legal. So where are we now with this?
Still talking about consideration. There's a couple more elements we want to talk about as far as that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to follow up a bit on Finley's question, to give a little bit more definition to the concept of what he was asking.
Mm-hmm.
The rule of thumb, Ben, which is a pretty, I would call it even more of a rule of thumb. It's really kind of a standard, is 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
As far as the time period.
In terms of a length.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A time period. Okay. When you start talking about a covenant not to compete that lasts for 5 years, 7 years, 10 years,
mm-hmm.
I think that the courts are going to look at that in a very suspect way.
Mm-hmm.
If all of these other elements are present, and if the covenant in terms of length is 2 or 3 years,
mm-hmm.
then I think at that point it might be considered or could be considered reasonable,
mm-hmm.
And not against public policy. The other thing that is interesting about Wes's factual scenario of the employee who starts to work and works for 3 or 4 days and then gets called into the office and calls into the business manager and says, by the way, we need you to sign this covenant not to compete.
Mm-hmm.
And Wes, of course, was explaining accurately that's going to be held unenforceable. But let's change the facts a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that the employee is called into the office and is asked to sign a covenant not to compete 2 or 3 days after having started to work.
Right.
But there is a change in consideration.
Right. Given a little bump in raise.
Well, not just a little bump in raise, mm-hmm. but a considerable bump in mm-hmm. raise. Something, again, that all reasonable people would consider to be
valuable.
Right. Okay. Or a separate piece of consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay?
Let's say that the employer. Yeah, company car. Let's say that the employee wants to work in a different location. Sure, we'll let you do that. Go mm-hmm. work in Greene County.
Extra week of vacation.
That's right. We'll let you go, move your family there, but you need to sign the covenant not to compete. It doesn't have to be a overly significant element, amount of consideration, but it has to be something. It can't be, everything stays status quo, but you're now signing this document
right.
that purports to restrict your employment.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Now, again, we were kind of long on that last segment, so we'll take a short break here. We'll come back. I want to ask you, what if they don't sign it?
Okay.
I think that's a question there. And we'll have more to come in just a moment here on Coastal Daybreak and Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, attorneys of law, talking about covenants compete. We'll have more on coming up in just a moment. Hey, welcome back. Good to have you with us here on Coastal Daybreak on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240 with Let's Talk Legal from Harvell and Collins. So I posed the question, what if you don't sign the, you brought in 3 days later and you said, well, wait a minute. This wasn't part of the deal.
Well, if I'm representing the employee,
uh-huh.
I say go ahead and sign it.
Oh, okay.
Because it's not going to be enforceable anyway.
Because
if you don't, you might lose your job.
Yeah.
And we are, at will. So
that's right.
You could lose your job.
That's right.
Just for anything.
Yeah.
So
if you weren't given any particular valuable consideration, then at least our great folks out there listening will know now that's invalid.
Yeah. They're going to have all kind of tools in their toolbox. As far as consideration goes, a couple other issues here. Although, we're talking about the scenario where you are presented a covenant not to compete with no additional consideration at a later date after your employment started, and that we have a very specific case in North Carolina on point with regard to that. In the event that the covenant not to compete was discussed as part of the original employment agreement, and all the essential elements of that were part of the discussion, such as the amount of time, the territory covered, and what's being restricted.
Right. But the paperwork came later.
Yeah. The court will enforce a covenant not to compete in that scenario. But if you're an employer and you're going to be that sloppy,
be careful.
Be ready, because you're going to have some issues with it. Usually what happens in that scenario is the employer says, well, I showed them the draft covenant not to compete, or I showed them one that we used with a different employee, and this is what we discussed. It just didn't get signed. It was a paperwork thing. Logistically, we just, couldn't get around to it until 3 or 4 days later.
Okay.
So under that scenario, we do have a specific case that indicates that that would be enforceable.
We'll come back to some more of the elements, too, next week on Let's Talk Legal, because this is an interesting topic here as well, too. And we'll have more to come in just a moment here on the Coastal Daybreak. But stick around for next Tuesday. Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. We'll continue that discussion. Go online at harvellandcollins.com or call for that appointment at 252-726-9050.